how old will Jack be when you let him watch Star Wars?
I think when he's not scared of it, he's scared of Toy Story 3, so...
Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. This is Alan in Tubingen, and with me, as always,
is Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I don't always say that. It's Canada for those that get confused.
That's what the hosers means. People get confused when I hand them the cards and they look at the and they can't. Who's what? Hosers. It's a Canadian thing.
And they probably think that it's an X-rated site, I think, at first glance.
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, so maybe there's that.
Well, my mind is not in the gutter like yours, so I should have run that past you.
Yeah, we should have called it something else. Can we go back now?
I think so.
TwoHonestCanadians.com.
Two Canadians helping you out with photo stuff.
.com.
And boring you with stories about Munich.
Is there a Munich story this week?
No, there's no Munich story this week.
All right, well, let's...
Speaking of which...
What?
Guy, people have been asking, get me the Richard Dreyfuss picture of your dad.
Yes, I will do that. Sorry, my mistake. Richard Dreyfuss in a split screen with my father.
And I'll do mine with Harrison Ford, and we'll see. We'll have the poll. We'll do the poll and see who thinks who is more who. Huh?
Yeah. Celebrity impersonators?
Could be. Yeah. I don't think...
Lookalikes. Celebrity lookalikes.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're both in American Graffiti.
Yes. I don't know. I saw that a long time ago.
Check it out. It's awesome. And then the other guy in American Graffiti who was in Never Cry Wolf.
Which I've never seen.
Okay. But he played Farley Mowat. I bumped into him on the ferry one time.
Great, great story. Did you bump into him in Munich?
Nope. Okay. Nope, bumped into him in Seattle. I was down there with you. Charles Martin Smith, great actor. Saw him on the ferry. He was in The Untouchables. He's the little guy with the glasses from The Untouchables.
Okay, I also haven't seen that in quite some time.
Okay, well, check it out. Anyway, great guy, great actor.
So what's...
Check out his stuff.
So what's this episode?
This one's Lens Flare.
I'm excited.
Right?
Yeah, Lens Flare. Isn't that a technique that's just a little too advanced for me, for the newbies?
But see, here's the beauty of this technique, and we'll get into it later when we talk about it. It's a technique that you can do on purpose. Or these tips will help you avoid unwanted lens flare.
Okay.
You can go both ways on this one.
Yeah, I would have typically thought to avoid it, but I can see how it's cool.
I spend the bulk of my time avoiding it as well, but every once in a while you want to zag instead of zigging.
Yeah, well, okay.
Before we get there, what did you shoot this week? Did you shoot anything?
Did I shoot anything this week? Yes, we went camping. We did our second round of camping for
under the Space Needle.
No, this time we just went to Washington and just across the border to do what I didn't really know existed, but is pretty cool, called resort camping. So we went to one of these KOA campgrounds in Washington that's got, you know, mini golf and a swimming pool and, you know, just the amenities, little paddle boats. So, yeah, there was all sorts of fun things to do. So you're camping, you're in a tent, but you're not really roughing it outdoorsy style. You've got all these amenities kind of encompassed within the campground.
That's European camping.
Is it?
I think so. That's what we did. When the first time I was over here, when I moved here, my wife said, hey, we're going to go camping. And we did that, and I was like, okay, we're parked in the parking lot of a Walmart and with everybody else, and we're just kind of doing all those things with Das Walmart. But, yeah, and they have all those sorts of things. We ended up doing that in France as well.
This isn't a type of camping I've ever been involved in. We were always, as kids when we went camping, it was roughing it and out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness trying to survive.
And your iPad had like no 3G out there.
Exactly. So this was a different kind of camp. But again, fun. Very fun for the kids.
Can you play Angry Birds if you're not online?
Yes, you can. I have it on my iPod Touch.
All right.
So
is it good?
It's awesome. Plus,
Everybody loves it.
Here's a little note for whoever manufactured that software. I don't know offhand, but you know, easy enough to play for a 2-year-old because Jack can play Angry Birds quite well, actually better than Lisa.
Really?
Yeah. So there you go.
I've yet to play it, but I hear everyone loves it.
Jack has Angry Birds stickers. Lisa found those at Walmart or London Drugs or something. So Angry Birds stickers. You can, you know those, I don't know if your daughter's not quite old enough yet, but, and I don't know if Germany has them, but these Build-A-Bear stores in the mall uh-huh. where you can basically dress up any kind of bear any which way. Well, that's a popular thing for birthday parties and the like, but they now have Angry Birds at the Build-A-Bear shops.
Wow.
So it's everywhere. And t-shirts and they have everything Angry Birds. Angry Birds is a phenomenon.
They don't have malls here.
Really?
Not really. I mean, they have some sort of shopping gallerias sometimes. But the mall as we know it doesn't I've not seen it in existence in Germany. I know, right?
Okay.
What do you do?
I guess go to the shops.
Yeah. How do you know what people want for Christmas?
If
the mall doesn't tell you.
You make it from pieces of random scraps at home.
That's great. Oh, good. More lederhosen. Awesome.
Wooden shoes, or is that just Dutch?
That's the Dutch. That's in the north.
Germany doesn't have
leather pants.
Oh, okay. Just leather pants. Yeah.
And cuckoo clocks. I'm not joking. This is like the home. This is where cuckoo clocks were invented up in the Black Forest. Here, nearby here, they're all about the cuckoo clocks.
Okay, well.
So, what are we talking about?
Lens flare.
Lens flare, of course. Cuckoo clocks and Build-A-Bear and lens flare. Huh. Great.
We didn't really talk about any pictures you'd taken this past week, so why don't you fill us in?
I shot a wedding.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. It's you know what it was like? It reminded me of all the other times I shot a wedding.
Except?
Nothing, just the chaos. The chaos, we had good weather, you know, decent enough. I mean, we shot some inside too, so it's all good.
Was the bride super happy and willing to compromise in any which way that you sought the best pictures?
That's a good question, but yes and no. I mean, yes, because German weddings don't take on the same sort of feel as a North American wedding.
Right.
And so there is a lot more leeway in those sorts of things, in terms of expectations and you know, hopes, I suppose.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they are German, so they're not flexible at all.
Okay.
You know, so flexible in wedding wise, but not flexible in everyday life. And any of my German listeners, you know what I'm talking about. Not women. I mean Germans in general.
Okay.
I'm not specifying. So. Yeah, no, and plus they were already married.
Oh, it was one of those weddings.
It's one of those. I actually shot the first half of their wedding, when was this, a few months ago? I forget now. Was it last year? It was last year. I lose track. They got married in the city hall a few months ago, last year, and then now is the church. Yeah, this week was the church wedding.
Okay.
So there's that. So yeah, that's it. Shot a wedding. Let's move on.
Okay, lens flare.
I don't even want to get into what's challenging about shooting a wedding because it's all challenging. And yeah, if somebody asks you to just shoot a wedding, like I do it professionally, but if someone asks you just as a favor to shoot their wedding, back away. Make yourself look large and like intimidating, like you would with a mountain lion,
right?
And then just back away slowly. Don't excite them.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, especially if you were going to that wedding already.
Oh, yeah.
If you're already invited to the wedding and they're like, hey, can you take pictures? End of your fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I did a little bit of video for friends that, you know, had a hired cameraman but didn't have a videographer and just, you know, asked for just a couple of video clips, you know, of the ceremony, of the first dance, of a few things. And again, you know, I'm...
All things. Yeah. That's all things.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that on my little handheld, you know, mini DV camcorder, but again, like lighting wasn't right, and I'm kind of a type of person that if I'm going to do it, I want it to look half decent. And yeah, I was very frustrating. I got something to them that they were happy with, and of course, you know, I was doing it just because they asked them to be nice. But yeah, big time wedding wrecker for myself.
That's the end of your day.
Yeah. I mean, I still enjoyed doing it, but yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying is that you're better served just to enjoy the wedding.
Yeah. I was not invited to this wedding. You know, so this one was a hired gig, so I didn't miss out on anything. So I recommend. Also, my other recommendation, if you're like kind of an amateur or a hobbyist or semi-pro, call it what you want, and you get approached to do a wedding, ask for money.
Even if it's your friend?
Even if it's your friend, ask for money. And ask for more money than you want. If it's your buddy and you say, look, you know what, yeah, I'll do it. I need $500. You'll find out right away how serious he is about having you do it. And what's he going to say? No. And if he does, you get to go and enjoy the day.
Right.
Like I'm talking about if you're invited to the wedding. If you're not invited to the wedding and you want to go shoot it, hey, be my guest.
You know what? That in theory works well, but you're a much bigger jerk than I am.
I'm not. I wish I applied it more often. But I don't. I don't apply it as often as I should.
Yeah. I couldn't. But, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't pull it off.
It's difficult, but once you break the ice on that, then everybody else, word gets around what a jerk you are. But all of a sudden, you don't have to do no free weddings and no more.
Right. Yeah, I gotta work on that.
Never own a pickup truck, man.
Yeah, I don't have one.
Yep. You have to help everybody move. That's the rule.
I'll remember that.
Yep. So that's it. That's what we shot. That's what I shot. That's what you shot. Lens flare. That was the photo challenge this week.
Okay.
I challenged you, so let's...
So we look at mine first or yours first?
Let's look at yours.
Okay. So I did this, and I took this I took this last night, and the issue for me going in was I've never intentionally tried to get lens flare. So this was a first. Now, I was worried I wasn't going to be able to get a picture at all because... You know, I was working with no sun at all for the last 2 days. And so the sun showed up at about 6:30 and the clouds kind of cleared. And so I was excited because I thought, okay, I didn't know any other way to get lens flare unless there was a really bright, shiny light. And I didn't really want to try to do this in my house artificially. So mm-hmm. I was really hoping for the sun, which did show. So I went down to... the docks at Steveston. I've shot other pictures down here. So this is probably about 7:38-ish in the evening, and I'm crouched right down with my 50mm lens, taking a picture of the boat. And I wanted to get the docks in the background, and I'm basically shooting right at the sun, trying again to get it sort of almost a silhouette effect with the boat blocking it out and just letting that sun creep in behind the boat. So yeah, that's what I did. You want particulars? This was shot in manual mode because the challenge I had, not knowing exactly how to do this, is that again, if I set it in AV mode, I didn't know how to do it because the bright coming in kept messing up my exposure. So
right.
I had to go to manual and sort of set the exposure that I wanted, and I, you know, there's a little bit of tinkering to find where I wanted it, and then I snapped the picture that way.
Yep, doing it on purpose isn't that easy.
No, it's not.
And it looks great. I like, because you can see in the bottom center of the picture, you can see the sort of red flare there.
Yep.
That's from the light bouncing around inside your lens.
Yep.
And then everything else, you got all the earmarks of a lens flare picture. And it looks good.
I'm glad.
And I think they're filming a movie or something up there.
They are. They're just setting up because I was up there before, and they're going to shoot some lady answering a bunch of questions about something because I was kind of watching them get out all the equipment and stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, so they are doing something. And there's an actual movie being filmed in Steveston right now, which I don't know what it is because they've changed a bunch of the storefronts. But I don't think these two things are related. I think they're just shooting kind of an interview type situation up there.
That's like the worst gig, the guy holding the fishpole there.
Yeah.
Everyone mislabels it a boom pole because that's a microphone he's got in there in a wind housing.
Yeah.
But it's not actually a boom pole. It's called a fishpole when you hold it by yourself. And holding it above your head all day is no fun.
Yeah, that would suck.
I've done it before. I've done it on a television show. And after a while, after a 15-hour day, you've had enough.
I bet.
But they had sprung for the carbon fiber model, so that was nice. so it wasn't as heavy. It wasn't crazy heavy, but just still balancing it because I was doing that and mixing the audio on the fly at the same time, which makes for a tough day.
Okay, well, how about back to my picture?
Yeah, boo-hoo for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what else you got about your picture? I like the colors. I like the washed-out colors because, to me, this is late summer evening to me.
Yeah.
And, sorry, not late summer evening, but late summer. You know the feeling sort of that kind of washed-out, muted colors that you get at the end of summer, like when the grass maybe hasn't been watered every day, and that sort of feeling?
Sure.
That's the feeling I get from this shot.
I'm glad. I was mostly just wanting to make sure I got the flare. So my focus was I wanted to get the boat, I wanted to get the docks for context, and I was just trying to get an angle. And again, I must have looked very silly because I'm lying on my stomach on the docks, and I'm sort of, you know, rolling this way and that, trying to get the light to hit the lens in such a way that I'm going to get the flare. And maybe I'm mistaken, but I could see the flare through the lens, right? So that's what I'm trying to do. I was angling the lens this way and that, trying to get the flare to show up and then take the picture.
Yep. No, you did it. And I think a significant improvement over that dog's breakfast you called a photo last week.
Thanks. I'm trying to forget that one still.
I knew you had it in you.
I'm glad.
And I like how the sort of backlighting lights up the windows of the fishing boat as well.
Yeah, no, I like that too.
All around, good job.
All right,
you went at the right time of night too. That's what it's either. I like it late at night or early in the morning.
Well, because the sun has to get low enough, right? In the middle of the day, I'd need to find a picture where I'm shooting straight up in the air.
Yes, that's a difficult one.
Yeah,
and that's not quite what I did, but for my picture, I had to shoot earlier in the day because my wife and daughter were in the picture.
Right.
So I was a little bit earlier, probably an hour or so earlier than you. So I had to shoot a slightly lower angle to get that flare. So
let's talk about your picture. What did you do here to make this?
I actually shot this with an 85 millimeter lens. My dad, when he came, he brought his 85 millimeter f/1.8 lens.
Yep.
That I love, and we'll probably buy one. And he left it. He was nice enough to leave it for me to shoot the wedding, and then I'll bring it. You know, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That part doesn't matter.
Yeah, let's move along.
I'll tell you how Munich ties in with it. And so anyway, I shot with the 85 because I love that. I love that lens, and I wanted to blur out the background and all that kind of stuff. You know, after last week's deep focus shot, I wanted to have a soft bokeh here.
Yeah.
And so I did exactly the same as you. I got down low, made sure the sun was hitting the lens. And that's what we ended up with.
And I think this marks the first time there's been a picture of Emily posted for on the Two Hoser site.
And the first time her name's been mentioned, too.
Oh, that's right, because we were kind of... Her name really... Moopsie. Yeah, Moopsie or Gertrude or something. but then maybe you'll move it around and we'll actually be able to see her face next time.
Yes. Yes. That's Emily on the bottom, by the way.
It's like a mystery baby.
Yes. I tried to get a shot with her looking, but she was not cooperating.
She's kind of got my kind of hairstyle too. You know, little bit balding around the classic horseshoe type pattern.
That's true. Well, she's going to audition for Star Trek this week, so we're going to get her on there. And she wasn't cooperating. And at 6 weeks old, I don't think she knows what a podcast is.
Okay.
Which I thought, what's the normal age for kids to recognize what a podcast is? 8 weeks, 10 weeks?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I'm not saying like she's going to make her own podcast. I'm just saying that she has to understand what daddy does.
I think it's right around the same time that she can sit up.
Right.
6 months.
And then she'll play Angry Birds, and that's that.
Exactly.
So, I basically did the same as you, made sure the lens... The sun hit the lens, and then you adjust exposure accordingly. Because what ends up happening when you have the sun shining right in is it's really easy to blow out that your entire exposure. I mean, I shot manual right away. I didn't even attempt to shoot AV mode because I knew what would happen.
Yeah.
So I went right into manual, and The first couple actually was really blown out. I found it was really blown out and white, like just shooting right in the sun almost, yeah. even though I wasn't.
Right.
But then I picked this one.
And how much blown out? I mean, for someone trying to make a lens flare picture, how far blown out, you know, should it be? Like, I had no idea.
That's a good question. I mean, well, let's talk about making lens flare or avoiding it. But let's talk about making it first, and because I don't know how much is too much. I'll tell you what. Oh man, this sounds terrible. I can't even think of how to say it. I wanted it to look like a happy accident.
Okay.
So like it was one of those shots that sort of this could be, you know, the album cover for a Carly Simon in the 70s.
Okay.
That was how far too far. Whatever Carly Simon would do 40 years ago, that's what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure. I was never a Carly Simon fan.
Wow. Okay, Carole King, I don't care. But no, that doesn't work. It's Carly Simon.
All I know is you're so vain, which is probably why you like it.
I did for a long time. I thought that song was about me, but yeah. I was pretty young and didn't know.
Okay.
Okay, James Taylor. James Taylor cover, if it makes you feel better.
Doesn't.
This was popular. This is very, like, very much the 70s look, you know?
And I think that this has come back in photography, like this lens flare thing. And I mean, you shoot weddings. Do you try to shoot a lens flare picture for a wedding that you shoot?
No, but I'm gonna. In fact, I did this week just because of it.
Okay.
I normally avoid it at all costs. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a couple. Why not? You know, make a couple and see if they like them.
Because, I mean, I just did a quick Google search for lens flare just to sort of get an idea. And, again, I saw a ton of wedding pictures where, yeah, it seems like it's the trend is that, you know, photographers for a wedding shot, like, you know, taking a picture at the ceremony or whatever that's just got the lens flare. And again, I guess time of day that ceremony's going on factors in and whether it's outside. But I saw lots of photography-related lens flare shots with weddings.
I think part of it is when you're in a challenging position where you're trying very hard to avoid lens flare, it's also easy to just embrace it.
Yeah.
And really play the hand you're dealt.
Exactly.
So you got a pair of fours under, you play it strong.
Why not?
I can't believe I used a poker analogy.
Yeah, you had to work it in. I knew you've been working up to it. You know, you've got analogies about everything else. So
let's move on.
Yeah.
So what causes lens flare? First of all, you mean you did it on purpose, so you know now.
The bright, the really, really bright light hitting your lens at just the right angle. So I guess there's a reflection. I don't know. You're Mr. Yep. Science here,
well,
so you tell me.
I think
me.
When we're talking about lens flare, what you know, you think of it first is that sort of that circle of light that at the top of my picture and the one at the bottom of yours. That's where yours ended up, the, like the red kind of circly thing.
Yeah.
And then at the top of mine, mine shows up at the top image as sort of a yellowy color.
Right.
That's what I think people think of with lens flare. But lens flare in general is just light hitting that lens, hitting the front element and causing light to bounce around your image. And so what ends up happening is you get that effect, depending on what lens you're using. Zoom lenses have different looks than prime lenses generally because of the number of pieces of glass in them.
Yeah.
And the way it bounces around. But also the big effect that is caused is sort of the reduced contrast. You wash out your colors and you don't have quite the punchy blacks that you would normally have.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes you get lens flare without knowing you have lens flare. And you end up getting a washed out image that you didn't know about without having that circle. I bet you there's a name for that circle, but I don't know what it is.
I just like that circle.
We're going to call it Pete.
Okay.
Yeah. So how do you create it? Well, we talked about how you create lens flare. You make sure the sun hits the light. It doesn't have to be the sun. Make sure the light hits the front element of your lens. In this case, get down low, shoot into the sun, something you normally wouldn't do. You'd probably keep your back to the sun.
Right. That's what I usually do.
How do you avoid it?
By keeping your back to the sun.
Those are the ways to do it, but there's other ways, other things you can do.
Okay.
I use a lens hood.
I don't.
I highly recommend using a lens hood. I think I mentioned it on the show before. I do not use a UV filter on the front of my lenses. I hate them. It's just me. It's part of it is that it's part of the upsell when you go to the store. They sell you the lens. They want to sell you another $50 filter to try to protect that lens. I prefer to be careful and use a lens hood.
Good tip. I thought about it when I was doing this. I thought, oh, that's where it would come in handy.
Absolutely. So not only does it protect your lens from banging it on things, it also protects stray light from coming in and hitting that front element and creating the lens flare effect. Interesting fact, just to challenge myself even further, I actually shot this lens flare shot with a hood.
Really?
Yeah, I shouldn't have. I could have made my life easier and taken it off, but I decided to really go all in and make it difficult. So that's how I generally avoid it, is using the lens hood. And also, if you have a UV filter instead, that's one more layer of glass to pick up flare on. So it actually makes lens flare worse. It might protect your camera from scratches your lens from scratches or dust or whatever you think it protects it from, but it also increases the chances of having lens flare.
Great.
So there you go. That's one way to avoid it. Use the hood.
Okay. I'm going to get one.
So what are some ways that you could use it to your advantage? Like how would you describe the look that we're going for here?
Cool.
It is cool. I do. I think it's cool as well.
Yeah. I like the picture. Like, I really like your picture. And again, as much as it is about the lens flare, I like the pose. I like, you know, sort of the expression. And this to me is just a nice picture, whether the lens flare is there or not. I like the picture. I like just that, you know, that really bright sort of, I call it rim lighting. Maybe there's a better name for it, around Lena's hair, like as her hair all lights up. And I've seen that in my own pictures, kind of done by accident, where I've taken pictures of my wife at sunset and her hair around the edge of her hair all lights up in red. And so I think sometimes it just really brings out a neat feature of the light. So at sunset, that red light, if you get a nice red sunset, it can look fantastic around and bring more attention to a detail in the image that you might not have seen otherwise.
Great way to separate your subject from the background. So much so that generally when I'm lighting a picture or a scene for, like, you know, for motion picture, I often purposely have a backlight or rim light, like you call it, or a kicker. Also call it a kicker.
Okay.
Go figure. I do it on purpose. And you look for it in movies. You'll see it in movies an awful lot, because that's a great way to separate your subject from the background.
And in your picture, I mean, there's like almost like, you know, you've bordered it, because all along her left arm, you've got that nice, exactly that white light that kind of runs down her arm and really, again, gives it a nice contrast.
Yep. I think her hair is a little bit blown out for my taste, but it was just a tough lighting situation.
Yeah.
But I'll just pretend like I did that on purpose.
Yeah, no, I really like it.
Super.
And,
all right,
and
so that's it.
That's it. That's all I got for you. What else you got?
No, that's it. I like the... So this is a situation where I actually like the reduced contrast and the sort of blown out, the washed out colors, because it reminds me of, like, you know how you look at a lot of pictures now that we take with our digital cameras, and they just somehow, I feel like such an idiot for saying this, they look too perfect.
Yeah.
I don't mean, you know, that you made them perfect, but just the everything's crisp because of the technology, and they're just so good. And you look at some of the pictures from when you were a kid, and they're faded, and they kind of have this look to them, and there's sort of that nostalgic feeling.
I agree, 100%.
And so it's odd. I don't want to be that guy who, you know, scratches up his CDs so it sounds like records or something like that. Don't do that at home, by the way. But every once in a while, I like to go for that effect. No,
it looks really good. And I agree. That's exactly what this photo reminds me. This could very easily be a picture of one of our parents holding us, because that's how a lot of the pictures looked.
Yep. And now that, I mean, I haven't done this in a long time, especially intentionally. And now that we've done this challenge, I'm going to do it a lot more, I think.
Me too.
Awesome.
So,
and if your regular photos accidentally look like this, and you don't want them to, that's where to look. Look for lens flare.
And now you might appreciate the pictures that look like this a little more and not throw them out. You might have made a cool mistake.
I love it when I make cool mistakes. It's not very often. But when you accidentally make a cool mistake, that's the greatest.
Great.
The end. The end of that story.
The end of our podcast.
Alan just said he likes to make cool mistakes.
He just walked off.
If the phrase jumping the shark hadn't already jumped the shark, I would have said jump the shark. Except for I don't know what the kids are saying now.
But maybe the new phrase going around is cool mistakes are awesome.
Cool mistakes. I doubt it.
I'm gonna make a t-shirt tomorrow. It says, I love making cool mistakes.
I think me saying that out loud was an uncool mistake.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's the end of this episode. We need a challenge, but I'm going to remind you before we do that, get me the Richard Dreyfuss picture.
I will. Promise. I will do it. And awesome. I don't have a challenge that comes to mind, so how about you make one?
I got one.
Okay.
Picture's worth 1,000 words. So evidently I took like 10,000 pictures in Munich. But no, this next week, tell a story.
Just tell a story with your picture.
The picture has to tell a story, a very clear story.
Okay, I'm going to have to think hard on that one.
It's going to be a situation where the more in-depth the story, the more complicated the story, the better. But rather than just make a snapshot, let's do that. Now, for instance, just to go back, like let's say my picture this week, it tells a story, but it's not tremendously complex.
Yeah, mother loves child.
Yeah, shocker, chocolate tastes good. Yeah. Uncool mistakes are rad. That's what this one says. Those are very easy.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to tell something, include things within the frame that I don't want to spoil it. I'm just saying that if I submitted this one, I would fail.
Okay. All right.
That's it. All right. Until next week, where can people find your resort camping photos?
SchwartzChronicles.com. And your stuff?
My stuff, I haven't updated my actual site in a while. I'll get onto that very shortly. But you can find that at alanattridge.com. Adam and I are both at twohosers.com, where you can find our show. We're Two Hosers on Twitter. On our Two Hosers site, you can find information on how to get to our Flickr challenge site. Participation. We encourage your participation. And also, you can send us listener questions at questions@twohosers. Basically, we're out there. We're on the thing called the web.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. We're probably no, don't say that. Weird. Don't make it weird,
okay,
Adam.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Okay, so and that's it. Until next week, everybody, get out there, make better photos.